These hospitals are knowingly, we now know from the work of attorney Tom Rentz, as you know, that these hospitals knowingly, with intent, not only allowed people to die under these conditions, but they purposely set out a collection of actions that resulted in the deaths and then called it COVID. I mean, it's all coming out now. These hospitals, I have told a number of representatives from hospitals, Owen, that these are the killing fields. These are the atrocity is that these are people who took oaths to help people, to make them better, to promise to care for them and protect them in their most vulnerable states. And they did the extreme opposite.
Well, the great Dr. Jane Ruby joins me now, drjaneruby.com, at Real Dr. Jane Ruby on Twitter. And, you know, it may seem like ancient history, everything we went through with COVID, but we can't let this slide into the history books and let all the people that committed so many crimes against humanity get away with this. And we're learning more, not just about the medical protocols from Anthony Fauci, but other hospital protocols as well. And Dr. Jane Ruby, unfortunately, what we suspected or even knew all along, that these protocols were really responsible for most of the COVID deaths, it now looks like at this point, the COVID protocols, the medical protocols, the hospital protocols, the treatment protocols, all of it, it looks like they were responsible for the vast majority of COVID deaths. Not actually COVID is what we're learning. What are your thoughts? What is your information as we learn more about this?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be back with you, Owen. These hospitals are knowingly, we now know from the work of attorney Tom Rentz, as you know, that these hospitals knowingly, with intent, not only allowed people to die under these conditions, but they purposely set out a collection of actions that resulted in the deaths and then called it COVID. I mean, it's all coming out now. These hospitals, I have told a number of representatives from hospitals, Owen, that these are the killing fields. These are the atrocity is that these are people who took oaths to help people, to make them better, to promise to care for them and protect them in their most vulnerable states. And they did the extreme opposite. You know, there is a process to this, what we call the CDC death protocol. And every step along this way, Owen, is reimbursed by the federal government. So the minute you hop into a hospital, for any reason, broken arm, car accident, doesn't matter, you're going to get an obligatory nasal swab because they get reimbursed for it. And then, of course, the PCR test is fake, recalled, and you're going to get a false positive. Cha-ching. Then you're going to be isolated from your family and friends and any advocacy. So that's when the real danger begins. You're going to be given drugs that you don't want, drugs against your will, usually narcotics like midazolam and others, fentanyl. And then you're going to be really incapacitated. Your respirations are going to change and decrease. And then, oops, I guess you need remdesivir because you're positive for COVID. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars that are being spent. And I've told nurses that stayed behind, Owen, that's no excuse. You enabled the death protocol. You enabled it. You're complicit in murder.
Yeah, and look, for the whole, hey, I was just doing my job, I got bills to pay, this is a discussion that it's hard to have because we can empathize, we can have empathy for those people. We can understand where they're coming from, but still that doesn't give you the right. You still took part in this. We don't say, oh, well, the Nazi soldiers just doing their job. They were just doing their job. They were okay. No, that's not how we look at it at all. In fact, we look at that as the example of why you don't say, oh, I'm just doing my job. But, you know, I'm listening to you talk here, and I can't help but find a parallel. There's this big uproar we've seen in Congress lately because of what they call a Ticketmaster racketeering effort, where they claim that these ticket brokerage sites are basically screwing over the customers because of the ticket gouging and the high prices and everything. And while there might be something to that, The truth is, for the most part, that's just how the free market is working. And people pay 10 grand to go to a Taylor Swift concert. That's just mostly the free market working. It's not even necessarily a Ticketmaster issue. But it's funny because when I'm hearing you talk, this is the real racketeering. The real racketeering is going on in the health industry. The real racketeering is going on in the hospitals. You just described it right there. Why don't we have the same uproar in Congress over that blatant racketeering? That's not free market. That is blatant racketeering.
Look, this is the same Congress that sat silent while our military was decimated day in and day out, forced to take this poison. You have people like Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, who's grounding fighter pilots, elite fighter pilots, because they're having heart attacks and strokes. But back to the culpability. Owen, these people know they're killing people. Little known fact about my past, I'm a nursing professor. I've taught nursing at the graduate and undergraduate level. There is no way, and I would testify to this in a court of law against these people, there's no way they don't know they're killing people, because somebody's hanging those remdesivir bags, right? And you keep hanging those medication bags with those infusions and they keep rolling your patients out dead. You know what you're doing. There is absolutely no excuse. The nurses that stayed, the doctors that stayed, these people are all part of it. And their intent, because they know they're getting incentivized, they know they're getting paid for it. This is not a free market piece here. This is intent to kill, a murder for hire. I've had countless people, family members, Owen, surviving relatives, and they tell me, unbeknown to each other, they're telling me the same story with the same exact patterns, the same elements. I've had friends who were attorneys and physicians who got caught up in these hospital systems that were texting me frantically, I'm in here, I'm scared, they won't let me out, my family doesn't have any access, they took my phone. It was the same story over and over again, and here's the worst part of it. People are put in isolated rooms, Owen, to die. They're given medications that incapacitate them. Whatever consciousness they have left, they're in a cold, dark room, and they eventually die with no one, no comforting voice, no family member, not even a nurse who holds their hand and just says, I'm with you. It's going to be okay. And in fact, they hasten their death. Any nurse or doctor knows if you continue to give morphine sulfate over and over again, you're going to depress the respirations and you're going to stop their breathing. In fact, when somebody gets to two or three respirations a minute, you should stop, because you want to comfort the end of life, which is hospice, which is a totally different situation. That's with the patient's full consent. But you don't ever want to hasten it. You don't want to move it to death. That's not in our purview. That's God's purview. And these people are despicable. And Owen, I swear, I will be at the ready. I will be available for any court case that is a prosecution against these people, because they know, and I know, and I know they know, that they knew what they were doing every step along the way that killed people.
Well, and we had whistleblowers at the very front of this that were calling this out, showing the internal documents, the internal databases. So we knew that this was going on for a while. And you kind of had a good segue into my next question here, which is, so what's the next step? I mean, we had the whistleblowers at first. We had the revelations at first. There was some momentum there. We did save some lives. But now here we are 3 years later. And, you know, I mean, look, I'm guilty of it, too. I've moved on to the next story. I'm moving on to the next big issue that we're trying to juggle. How do we get the focus back onto this? And how do we, the people, seek justice for this premeditated murder that went on? Folks, I don't know the exact number. It's over 90% of COVID deaths happened in a hospital. If you went to the hospital with COVID, you were going to die, were the odds.
Yeah, and they facilitated it. I'm not a legal expert, but I'm working very closely with attorney Tom Renz on this issue, and people are starting to pay attention. And what he has told me is that intent vitiates any protection they had under the PREP Act, the emergency use authorizations, and all of that. So it's time to start bringing lawsuits, either both class action or individual lawsuits, against these hospitals. They are vulnerable because they knew what they were doing. And with Tom's latest revelation of his whistleblower who had a tape that revealed this, we're going to start seeing this happen very soon.
All right, I want to continue this on the other side of the break with more updates, because, I mean, Tom Renz is hitting the pavement every day. You're making yourself available on this. What other sources of information or other sources of legal pushback can we find here with Dr. Jane Ruby? We'll be right back. Dr. Jane Ruby is our guest here on the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer, guest hosting today. We're talking about, really, I would say it's the legal fight now for justice. What was done to far too many people resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths. The COVID protocols suggested by Anthony Fauci and others inside the CDC that ended up getting a lot of people killed, quite frankly. In fact, the hospital was the last place you wanted to go with COVID. That is probably was going to be the last place you ever went. And so we have all the data. We have all the information. Now, you've talked about Thomas Renz doing a great job. Obviously, you're making yourself available. What other outlets? I mean, maybe there's somebody in here that had a family member that got killed by the protocols. Maybe there's somebody in here that's a lawyer that wants to get involved with this. What other kind of outlets or outreach can you promote here so that we cannot drop the ball on this?
Sure. And let me add that we're all still vulnerable to this. There are laws on state books that extended this CDC death protocol and the supposed protections that went with it. So it's still very dangerous, Owen, to go to a hospital. But here's what I would suggest to people to start thinking about now, while you can. First of all, form alliances in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community of people, and do an inventory of expertise in different areas. I'll tell you why. You want to formulate sort of alternative or maybe parallel healthcare systems. Utilize the urgent care centers because they don't have ventilators. Okay, they're not going to be incentivized. So maybe create additional forms of those urgent care centers to get more health care that won't make you vulnerable to going to a hospital. Another thing is, everybody's got a little first aid kit at home, you know, with a few Band-Aids in it. Hey, you've got to go full bore now. There's still lots available. Get an advanced first aid kit. I've got one. I can show you many, many pictures and links to them. They open up like have a station, if you will, in a part of your house with all kinds of advanced items in it, like tourniquets and things to stop blood and to do suturing, because you want to stay off this industrial complex hospital grid. That's what's dangerous. These are the money-hungry, greedy, you know, entities that are going to, they're going to not only let you die, but and hasten your death for all for money. And then again, I'm not the legal expert here, but I am all for filing lawsuits, getting together with others in terms of filing class action suits against individual doctors that took care of you, nurses that took care of you, because they need to feel the pain of their intent and of their just what they enabled. They know they're complicit in murder. So those are the things that I do. I have a very advanced first aid kit. It's absolutely amazing. I'm a nurse practitioner, so I'm trained to use most of it. But there are elements in these kits that can save you the danger of going to a hospital for most things. Obviously, if you need surgery emergently, but you have to go to a hospital for some of those things. But I highly urge you to be very aggressive in terms of insisting on advocacy, never being left alone, and being very careful, Owen, as to what you sign. There are documents, informed consent documents, that have unfortunately been, you know, modified to include your giving permission for general vaccines. Very, very dangerous. So you've got to read, no matter how much duress you're under, or have an advocate read before you sign, even for a simple outpatient procedure, something very minor. You'd be surprised at what they slip into these informed consents. It's really dangerous.
Yeah, and to think that that's the situation that we're in, like, you go to the hospital, maybe you need some surgery or something, and they're like, okay, first you need to sign this. Well, gee, okay, I guess I got to call my lawyer now. I guess I got to read this ridiculous document now to get, you know, my broken leg fixed up or whatever. And then you read it and it's like, yep, we can vaccinate you with whatever we want, or we can even kill you if you want. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'm not signing that. So it's sad to think that's the state of things. But before we move on to the next topics here, you know, I want to be clear that I've met people in my life, doctors in my life, that are some of the best people ever. Best people you ever meet. I mean, brain surgeries, emergency surgeons, pediatric care, all of it. Some of the best people I've ever met. But obviously there's bad people in these hospitals. Obviously there's bad people that are doctors too, because otherwise how would this have been able to go on? And so just kind of speaking to the industry in general, I mean, are there just doctors out there that just don't care? They just don't have any soul, any feeling anymore? Like, yeah, all these COVID patients come in. We know they're going to die. We know we're going to kill them. We just don't care. I'm getting my paycheck. I mean, how does this... I'm just so confused because, again, the people I've met that are doctors are good people. So how does this happen?
Well, it baffles me as well. When you think about it, I mean, even just to keep a job for a few dollars, to know that what you're doing or what you're witnessing and being silent about is resulting in the death of other human beings in a profession that you went into for the opposite. I'm not going to make excuses for them. I've heard a number of excuses that doctors are trained, you know, mechanistically, and that they are trained to take a direction from the CDC. Come on, you've got a brain. You wouldn't have gotten through medical school without at least some kind of a discernment in your brain. So I don't buy that. I do think a lot of it is the incentivization. I think the hospitals have turned doctors into employees and hospitalists, but some people delude themselves. I've heard nurses and doctors delude themselves into, you know, the excuse of, well, I'm in there trying to help people. At least I can warn people while I'm in there. No, no, you're in there enabling this hospital system to continue the death protocol, to continue forcing people on narcotics when you know they don't need them, when you know it incapacitates them. I went on record in front of the board of directors at Sarasota Memorial Hospital in February. I had the opportunity, because this is a publicly funded hospital and a publicly elected board. And I clearly came out to the board and I said, in person, you are the poster child for the killing fields that American hospitals have become. And the board of directors said to me, Dr. Ruby, you know, you are on dangerous ground. I wanted to say, no, sir, you are in dangerous ground, because you are all responsible for these deaths. It's atrocious, Owen, and there is no excuse for it.
Well, and no I excuse. Think, though, exactly, it's not an excuse, but I think you kind of give us an idea where maybe these doctors just don't want to be fully honest with themselves, and maybe they just don't want to face the music that they're playing inside of these hospitals, which is exactly as you put it. You're now facilitating a depopulation agenda. You're now facilitating, in your part, it might be considered involuntary manslaughter, but when you look at the protocols, that's murder. That's premeditated murder. But hey, again, I'm not trying to slight doctors. That's like, I want to think the least of my problems here, trying to clean up this country. But it's like, look, I get it. You're a doctor. You're making good amounts of money. You got a nice cushy job at the hospital. You don't want to lose it. So you just kind of turn the eye the other way, pretend you don't see it, don't notice what's going on. I mean, that's my best analysis of what's going on here. And in the final 30 seconds, Dr. Jane Ruby, of this segment, before we rejoin on the next, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Owen. There are wonderful doctors and nurses, lifesavers. I've been one of them myself. This is not the entire profession, but I'm very disturbed about the silence across the majority of the profession for those that are in these hospitals and doing this to patients. My heart breaks for patients at cold.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's the same thing with the media. It's like, why would somebody on television lie to you? For money. Why would a doctor let murder happen? For money. I guess that's the answer.
I want to talk to listeners here about Victory. You know, when I ask you for support to spread the word and to pray for us, that's because I know prayer is real. I know you sharing the articles and videos is real. And I know when you financially support us, it's real because that's what funds us. But I don't want to get it lost in translation that, oh, buy these products, keep us on air. It's symbiotic. It's about a relationship. The products we have are the very best we can get. Super high quality, the lowest prices you're going to find, that are game changing. It's that simple. I mean, when I sit up here and I tell you, you really need to get X3, the triiodine, 2 billion people the UN estimates and Lancet Journal confirms have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. When I tell you, most iodine is bound to other elements and it's not absorbable. Just this one thing is so game changing. If you just get it and take it for a month and see what it does to your skin and your body, everything, then everyone would have it. and we'd have incredible funding and could beat the New World Order. But people have to try it. They have to actually go do it. You die without iodine. It's essential. You die without oxygen in 4 minutes, without water in about 4 or 5 days, without food in about a month. But iodine is as essential as oxygen that we suck into our lungs that God gave us. Everyone should go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, and you should get X3 and just take a bottle of it and see what happens in a month. Most people get results in 2 weeks, and I was just talking to a medical doctor a few days ago when I went and got a checkup. They said, oh, I see you talking about iodine. And what you say is true, yeah. About 2 weeks in, you kind of feel sick for a few days, and then it's like, it happens. That's your brain recalibrating everything else. Most people that are deficient about 2 weeks in feel sick for about 2 days, and then it just gets incredible. Some people it takes a month, but that's like 10% of people on average, so it's a minority. I remember Dr. Group telling me 10 years ago when he sold me on this, he goes, you got a few sunspots on your face, and he said, not freckles, sunspots, he said, just take this for about a month, see what happens. My skin, libido, amazing. Get X3 at InfoWarsStore.com, fund the operation. But please take it and see that what I'm telling is true, and then tell other people about it. Not just on this broadcast, but other places, because wherever you get your iodine, get it. But if you only get X3, that's fine. Some Himalayan salt actually has deep earth crystal iodine, and it's not as good, but it's close. Wherever you get it, get it. But X3 sports broadcast, go now to InfoWarsStore.com and get X3.